Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Well, just not a good scene for the Badgers as Tyler Van Dyke crutched his way out from the locker room in a full cast on his leg. Alabama's up big right now, 21-3. Keep you posted on that one. A bunch of other good games going on right now. Boston College in Missouri. How about this? Tigers tied it up, 14-all at home. Number 6 Missouri taking on 24 Boston College. LSU South Carolina got a barn burner going on. It's now 24-16. LSU fighting its way back after being down big early. Oklahoma State remains up big against Tulsa, 28-0. And Florida State looks, I don't know what to say at this point. I'm sorry, Mike Bell. They just look absolutely awful. They're down 13-3 at half. And again, if you missed it, DJU threw one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen in my entire life. And Bama scores again. They're now up 27-3. Not much jumping around to be done at Camp Randall this afternoon, but we'll see if they can, with their backup quarterback, maybe get back into this one as time starts to become no longer on their side. Before we hear from Matthew Judon, got a text on the text line at 404-726-0929. He wanted to address this one based off of our conversation we just had in our college football, true and false. This is from Ron. He says, guys, if you think Kirby is going to kick a player off the team, you're dreaming, especially if he's a star player. No, I'm not dreaming, as a matter of fact. I think that that's what should happen. Do I think it will happen? Probably not. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I condone this anymore. Not that I ever did, but especially now. I mean, guys, it's so far out of control at this point. You're asking for something tragic to happen again at this point. You're lucky. You're driving 106 miles an hour in the rain, speeding up past people, going 106 miles an hour, not wearing a seatbelt. You're openly inviting tragedy into your university by doing that. Openly inviting it. You're saying, I'm going to intentionally put myself in a position to harm or even kill myself and other people. And that cannot be an acceptable standard for your university. Sorry, it just can't be. So, Ron, I get it. You know, at the end of the day, football's a business. But if I'm Kirby Smart at this point, I can't, like, you can't afford another tragedy like that on your watch. Is it his fault? No, of course not. Again, do I think he's doing everything he can in terms of prevention? Yes. I think they're having experts, meetings, presentations, you name it. I think they're doing it at the University of Georgia. They're getting the best of the best of the best, sir, in there to try to teach these kids about the dangers of reckless driving and driving under the influence. I 100% believe that. But it's still not working. So you need to take matters into your own hands and be the leader not only of the program, but of the state of Georgia. Like, Governor Kemp, I'm sorry, but Kirby Smart runs the state. So that's what it ultimately comes down to, and he needs to exercise his power in the worst way possible. So, Ron, I appreciate the comment. If you have a comment, 404-726-0929, that is the number to call in. Also, our text line, or hit me up on Twitter at C Thomas Radio. On a much more positive note, Mike Bell and myself at Flowery Branch got a chance to catch up with the newest star of the Atlanta Falcons defense, Matthew Judon. And he was really great. Again, I think he has a future in media if he wants one. This was our conversation up at the branch.
It is our edge rusher. It is he is a bad man. It's Matthew Judon, live here on Dukes and Bell. Welcome to Atlanta.
Thank you, thank you. Thank y'all for having me.
Hey, man, so we were talking about when the trade went down and loved your response saying, look, you know, Falcons don't owe me nothing. I'm here. I'm going to go. Obviously, this is like a contract prove-it year all over again for you here.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what I love to do. You know, I didn't get to play last year. You know, I got paid all last year. So it's time to actually go play for some money.
Yeah, the Falcons have had a void at your position, Matt, for a long time. How much pride do you take in being the guy that hopefully comes here and can put up a double-digit sack season?
You know, I don't know what you're talking about, hopefully, but, you know, I don't think they have voids. I think they just had some young guys transition into that role. I think AK is an awesome pass rusher. You know, y'all got James, and then y'all got Zoe. So, you know, and that was before I got here. And they can all do the job well. And now it's just to go put it out on tape. You know, go let it fly. And you know, don't be timid. Don't be scared. Like, you're going to get yelled at. You're going to make some mistakes. But, like, I'll be trying to get and tell the younger guys, like, you know, name one of the greatest players that ever didn't do it their way. Like, it's so many great players that do it their way. If you talk about football, basketball, you know, y'all had a guy named Calais here.
Right.
Right. And he do the high swim, and it worked for him. And you always hear people like, stay low when you do swim, do it tight. It's like, are you going to get your ribs? Like, that, if you great, like, you will find a way to make it work.
It is a Matthew Judon with us, guys, live here in studio. This hour of the show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. You are a guy that has been a Pro Bowler, and we know we always advocate for the players because you never know when the career is going to go. You get franchise tagged in Baltimore, so I can see why you'd be a little sideways when we were up there in New England.
Yeah, it was more of just how it was handled more than what was going on, and I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, we all men. You know, we flesh and blood, and you talking to me one way, and then your actions speaking a different way. It's just kind of tough, and so, you know, I just went and talked to them about it, and I think they made the right move for where their organization wanted to go. I don't think me getting traded was a personal thing. I think it was just a business decision. And I'm just happy to be here, land on a good team with a great head coach. Y'all just talk to him, and you see how energetic he is. You see how real he is. You see how he want to attack the game. And, you know, that's how I can get something I can get behind. And I'm not saying, like, I love those guys right. up in Massachusetts, man. Like, those are my guys in Foxborough, and I'm always root for them. I'm happy Mayo got his first win, first game as a head coach. All those guys, I still talk to Sticks and all those guys. But, you know, it's a business decision. I'm here now. You got to transition. And so, you know, I'm 110 toes behind at the Atlanta way, the ATL right. way. And so this is what we got to do.
Had you heard of Coach Rod's got a pretty good rep around the league?
For sure. I didn't know too much about him. You know, I heard about him. When I got traded here, I talked to somebody that, you know, I might put their word over a lot of people's word in this league, Eric Weddle. And Eric Weddle talked to me about him and just the guy he is. He didn't say nothing about scheme. He didn't say nothing about football. He talked about the person he is and how when Eric went and played for him, what the atmosphere was like, how he coached, how he taught, how he led, and not too much about football. It was just about the man that he was. And so, you know, I took that, I took that tenfold, but it was too late. I was getting traded anyway, so it was too late. But, you know, I'm just happy I had, like, somebody out like that to reach out before I even asked him about him. He reached out to me and was like, hey, this is a good dude. You're going to love playing for him.
All right, 18 points, 6 field goals. A lot of those were over 50 yards. How do you evaluate the defense's performance in week one?
You know, we got to be critical. We got to be critical. You can't be like, hey, man, we did our job. No, let's get some takeaways. No, let's get a touchdown. Like, however we got to win, and we don't care about the offense. You know, you can't blink because, you know, if you do those standards – and we, at the end of the day, we got to have less points than, you know, that we have. So that's our job, and we got to keep them off the board. So if they get the ball on the 5-yard line, let's turn it over. Let's find a way to get the ball back on the 4-yard line on our own 4. So instead of, you know, going 3 and out and getting a field goal. So that's how we take it on. But we don't hang our heads on nothing. Like, we're not hanging our heads on nothing. That's one game. Well, we gotta live by it. We gotta get better by it, and then we move on.
It's Matthew Judon with us, guys. Pro Bowler here on Dukes and Bell, live inside the Ticketmaster Studios. For guys who don't know your backstory, just real quick, big family. Michigan man, go to a small school. Yeah. If you don't know the story, you're banged up before the combine. You do well in one of those, like, it was the Shrine game, and you make the decision, like, I'm getting to the combine, whatever I'm dealing with, I'm going to go make an impression, and you did.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I was strong back then. I bench pressed 30 times, man. Nice. I think I was the highest in the D-line. I think I'm not looking it up. I think I was like top five in every category that we did, with all the runs, all that. And so, you know, even though my family was watching and stuff, and, you know, they was like, man, we didn't get to see you do nothing because all they was talking about was Bosa. They just kept talking about Joey Bosa. They kept talking about Joey Bosa. So, but, you know, it's a lot of guys out of that draft class, you know, Chris Jones, Bosa, Yannick. It's a lot of guys that got some sack production. So, you know, I'm just happy, you know, to be still in the league and got my name mixed up with them guys. Like, bro, I'm so blessed, man. I'm so blessed to come from where I'm coming from and had this much success.
Speaking of power, you're going to have to put that on display. A couple of big athletes in the backfield for Philadelphia and their quarterback Jalen Hurts and running back Saquon Barkley. What's the game plan to attack those guys and limit their damage?
You know, we gotta play sound. You know, with that, you know, it's always tough with a running quarterback. A running quarterback can bleed you for 50-plus yards of rushing, and you don't even account for it. You'd be like, oh, we did good on the run, and the backs didn't have that much. And then the quarterback didn't bleed at you for 50. And so that add on to the running totals. But then Saquon and Gainwell, like, do not leave that guy out, bro. It's a 1-2. And I think everything that Saquon can do, Gainwell can do, and they both sufficient with catching the ball out the backfield, and they both can hit any cut and stop on the dime and do anything. So, you know, we just got to play sound, and we got to tackle, and we got to game tackle. Like, that's not – all three of those guys, not one guy bringing them down easily. You know, you got to keep them in a vise, and one hit the outside, the other hit the inside leg, and then somebody JOP.
And by the way, I know it's a long season, and you guys, as we said, I think most fans felt you guys handled your business on the defensive side. How do you stay even, like, through 17 weeks, man, and not get too high, get too low?
That got to be the mantra. Like, you got to stay level-headed. It's like, you know, sometimes you might explode. Sometimes you might get hot out there, and that's the competitive nature. But when you come back and you watch the tape, somebody, Wink Martindale, used to say, it's never as good as it seems, and it's never as bad as it seems. Like, let's watch the tape and see where these plays hurt us, see where we could get better, and see where we did a good job. Because every play not good, every play not bad. And then some plays, you know, you got to do your 1-11th. I might be on the backside of a run or going the other way, and if they see me crash, and they're going to come right back to that and then run a naked boot or run a boot. And so when it's my turn, I got to be ready. So you just got to stay even keeled.
Well, man, we're glad to have you here in Atlanta. Hopefully we get the dub up there in Philly, man. Glad to have you on the team, man.
Appreciate y'all. And it's my first time on this side of the conference, so let's go get it.
Right on, baby, in the NFC. And no expectations, just we got to get to the Super Bowl. That's Matthew Judon, man, Grand Valley State.
Yeah, great conversation there with Matt Judon. I'm telling you, man, he's slick with the mic. I like it. I think if he wants to. I don't know, Mike Conti, if you're listening, when Matt Judon's done playing, maybe we get him over here at 92.9 The Game. All right, when we get back, some good news and some bad news for the Dogs. And another quarterback hurt this afternoon. I'll explain. Connor Riley joins me next. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Odyssey app, Chris Thomas with you till 4.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas with you until 4 o'clock. First, it was Tyler Van Dyke who went down and then came back in a full cast and crutches. Now it's Lenora Sellers for the Gamecocks who went down just before the half. Keep you posted on that. Also a leg injury, it appears. Anything comes down between now and the end of the game, of course, I will do my best perusing the interwebs to keep you posted. But now we talk about the Dogs. Good news? They should probably roll tonight against the weakened Kentucky squad. Bad news, another bad day at the office for a Georgia player who decided to take a little joyride. And with that, we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our buddy Connor Riley of Dog Nation. Make sure you check him out there, our great partners at Dog Nation. Connor, let's start with the bad news first. Daniel Harris, give me everything you know about his driving-related incident.
Yeah, Daniel Harris was arrested on Thursday evening in Athens. The arresting officer cited him going 106 miles per hour on the highway there just outside of Athens. He did end up making the trip to Kentucky this weekend. We'll see if he ends up playing in this game, but another driving arrest, just something that this program continues to struggle with. Kirby Smart can say everything, but when you have a guy driving 106 miles an hour, I think it continues to be clear that the message is not exactly getting through. And so that this is going to be something he's almost certainly going to address postgame. And as we sit here on a game day, we have to continue talking about these driving-related issues when it comes to the Georgia football program.
From your understanding, from a preventative standpoint, is the team doing everything they can in terms of meetings and bringing in people and explanations and PowerPoints and all that kind of stuff to make it to try to drill it home as best they can?
Yeah, look, I this is where maybe you understand what Kirby and the frustration that exists here. I have no doubt that Kirby has done everything. He's had the meetings. He's had speakers come in. They've reviewed all this stuff. And at the end of the day, this is a 20-year-old electing to get behind the wheel of a car and drive at 106 miles an hour. And in some way, there's just not much Kirby can do in that situation. It has to have better decision-making. And obviously, all this is added on to the fact that you have that fatal car accident in January of 2023. So, Georgia's not the only program in the country that has, I think, driving-related issues or players driving fast cars and things like that. But it's a bigger deal at Georgia because of everything that has happened in the last now 20 months with this program and the fact that it continues to happen. I think this is the sixth driving-related arrest since March for this Georgia program. That is just far too many at an unacceptable rate with all that Georgia has going for it.
Yeah, hopefully Kirby does address it postgame and we can get some more insight. All right, who's in, who's out for this one? What can we expect?
Yeah, Georgia's going to be shorthanded on the defensive line. Once again, no Michael Williams in this game, nor Jordan Hall, no Warren Brinson. Not exactly a surprise there. They've been short-staffed on the defensive line all year, so they're going to lean a little bit more on guys like Tyrion Ingram-Dawkins, Christian Miller, Nah, Stackhouse. I think the one maybe bright spot of this game is that Kentucky's offensive line is terrible. It's one of the worst in the country. And so you think that those guys that I just listed there, Damon Wilson on the outside, Jalen Walker, are able to really pressure and make things difficult for Brock Vandegrift. He did not look good a week ago. And while, yes, Georgia's short staff on the defensive line, I think the fact that they have a bye week next week leans into them being maybe a little bit more cautious, along with the fact that they play Alabama in that first game after the bye.
Talking all things Dogs with our buddy Connor Riley of Dog Nation. Make sure you check out his stuff at K Connor Riley on the socials as well. Is this going to be Trevor Etienne's coming out party this evening?
I think you're going to see more of him involved in today's rushing attack. Only 5 carries last week against Tennessee Tech. I think that the opponent there somewhat dictated that. I think with the way that Georgia's going to want to play this game, with the fact that they do have Alabama after the bye, they're not going to want to turn this into a 4-quarter game. I think they're going to get off to a fast start, get out to a big lead early, and then sort of ice the game away in the second half, slow things down. And so that's where I would expect to see a lot of carries from Trevor Etienne, Nate Frazier. But Trevor Etienne impressing in his first start of the year last week against Tennessee Tech, I think he's only going to continue to build on that this week against Kentucky.
In your best opinion, Kentucky, to me, at least 2 or 3 years ago, Connor, was a program on the rise, and to face the struggles that they're facing now, what happened to Mark Stoops in that program?
Well, I think it's important to consider that Mark Stoops took the Texas A&M job last year, and then both sides sort of renege on that. He ends up back at Kentucky. I think that he had taken this program as far as he could possibly take it, and so the first sign of adversity in that game against South Carolina last week, you sort of see that this is a program that maybe has maxed out or has topped out there. And so now once you get to that point, you do start to backslide a little bit. To your point, Georgia's been able to give Kentucky some games. While Georgia's always won those, Kentucky's found a way to make it difficult. I wouldn't be surprised if Mark Stoops' team comes out and plays better than they did a week ago against South Carolina. It's just hard to play that poorly 2 weeks in a row. But they have such an uphill climb against this Georgia team. It's going to be a difficult game for them. And when you lose again to Georgia and you lose to South Carolina, a team you're supposed to beat in the manner in which you do, it does lead to more questions about, okay, well, what can we really continue to do here with Stoops? Now, South Carolina's looked pretty good today against LSU. Maybe that changes how some people feel about the Kentucky program. But losing to South Carolina by 20 points is not something that Mark Stoops in his, I believe, 13th year at Kentucky is supposed to be doing.
All right, so now looking at Alabama and Wisconsin, they're up big 28-10. As the third quarter winds down. But the real thing is they haven't really had a test yet. I mean, I guess you could say USF, that game was wonky, and then it got out of hand in the fourth quarter. Today, Wisconsin loses its starting quarterback. How do you think Kirby's going to approach the week off before the big game in terms of what they've seen from Alabama so far?
I think that this is an Alabama team where it's a very different program than what it was under Nick Saban. You've already sort of seen that with the way I think they struggled last week against USF. This is a Wisconsin game. I don't know how much you can take from Wisconsin, given, as you mentioned, Chris, that they lose Tyler Van Dyke and are playing with a backup quarterback. I think they're going to need to be very aggressive in the way they go after Jalen Milroe. I think you saw USF find some success with that. You obviously saw Michigan a season ago win in the college football playoff, something Georgia wasn't able to do because of the way they pressured and went after Jalen Milroe there. I think you've got to try and speed him up and not let him sit back there. They've answered some of the questions in terms of their skill maker or skill players around Milroe. Ryan Williams looks like an absolute stud, even though he's just 17 years old. Jim Miller looks like a really talented running back. Their offensive line is going to be a little bit better and a little bit healthier. They get Caden Proctor back today. But I think the most important thing is, can this Georgia defensive front get after and consistently make Jalen Milroe uncomfortable? They didn't do that a season ago in the SEC championship game and lost. I think a lot of that was a conscious choice made by Georgia to be, I think, more conservative on the defensive side. We'll see if they're going to be as aggressive as I think Michigan or South Florida were against Alabama in recent games.
If South Carolina pulls out this one against LSU, are they done?
I think that there's a good world where they are ranked. This is an LSU team. There's still a lot of talent there, even if they are underperforming, and they have a road win over Kentucky to go with it. In big spots, game day was there. And I think the most impressive thing was just the way that they had come out and played against an LSU team that knew that it was going to be walking into a hornet's nest. And for them to go out there and do that, very impressive. We'll see if they're going to be able to hold on with the Norris Sellers looking like he's injured and possibly out for the rest of the game. But it's a very strong statement for Shane Beamer, especially after a week one game against Old Dominion, where, quite frankly, they were a little lucky to win that game.
My producer asked me this earlier. I want to throw this question your way. If you could pick between Georgia and Texas, who's going undefeated in the SEC? Where would you lean right now early on?
I would take Georgia because I've seen them go through the SEC before. I've seen them go undefeated in the SEC before. I know Texas looked very impressive last week. I think that says more about Michigan than maybe it necessarily does against Texas. And, well, yes, Georgia's schedule is certainly tricky, and they do have some big games, Alabama, Texas, Ole Miss all on the road, Tennessee at home. I think that Georgia is individually going to be able to handle each of those matchups. So while Georgia does have the tougher schedule, they do have to go to Austin. I trust in Georgia a little bit more than I do in Texas and the SEC.
That's interesting because, Connor, I don't think many people have the Dogs surviving that two-game gauntlet.
You understand why, just because of the schedule and the grind that comes with it. But, look, I think this is a Georgia team we've seen, in the regular season at least, it's not those big games in recent years that they don't get up for. It's those games, ironically, like a Kentucky tonight, where it doesn't seem like a big game, that they play it a little tighter than it should be. You think back to those Tennessee games, Georgia's always dominated Tennessee. Ole Miss last season, that game was a blowout. So I think that this Georgia team, they enjoy sort of the challenge that comes with facing a top 15, a top 10 team during the regular season, because it allows them to really go out and actually flex their muscles.
All right, Connor, before I let you go, the number is 22 points for Georgia favored tonight. Do you see them winning by that margin?
I do. I think if Georgia can get to 27 points, which I think they can in this game, they're going to cover that spread. I just think Kentucky's offense is too limited in the ways that they're going to be able to attack this Georgia defense, and that's going to make things very difficult. So if Georgia can get to 24, 27 points, I think that they can cover that spread.
All right, Connor, appreciate the time. As always, we'll hear from you on Dukes and Bell on Monday, my friend.
Yep, thanks, Chris.
All right, that is our buddy Connor Riley of Dog Nation. All right, when we get back, my favorite segment and yours, it is time for the Producer Six Pack. In case you've never heard it before, 4 sports questions coming up from Producer E of any kind, and then 2 wild card questions. Could be about anything. My weekend plans, what I'm having for dinner, how's my new girlfriend doing? I'm sure, I'm not sure, but there could be a question about that. We'll see what happens. E's coming up next with the Producer Six Pack, taking you till 4 o'clock this afternoon when Grant McCauley and From the Diamond comes your way then, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. Starting to get down to crunch time for some of these early games. Bama's up big. They're about to jump around in Wisconsin, but they're down 35-10 without their starting quarterback. Tyler Van Dyke injured early in that one, so not much to jump around about. Oklahoma State said bleep you to the naysayers. They're up 38-0 on Tulsa. Did we get a confirmation on Lenora Sellers? Is he out? Do we know? All right, we'll figure that one out. South Carolina clinging now to a 24-16 lead over LSU, but they have been leading pillar to post in that one. Michigan's up big, 28-3 on Arkansas State. No surprise there. And Missouri has jumped all the way back from being behind from Boston College, now up 24-14. Mizzou looking to make a real statement as the number 6 team right now. Eli Drinkwitz, man, he's got that program rolling. Really impressive between Brady Cook and Luther Burden, who's having a big day. 5 receptions for 106 yards and a touchdown. So we shall see how that one unfolds. But again, all these games starting to creep into the fourth quarter now as we head towards 3 o'clock. We are also heading towards a Producer Six Pack.
Time for the Producer Six Pack on the other side of the glass.
6 questions.
6 questions.
6 chances to produce greatness.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, all right, all right. Producer Six Pack on this Saturday afternoon with me, Eric, and my man Chris. Man, you know what? I'll save that question. That's part of the non-sports question. So, Monday night, well, you know what? I'll tell you what. Everybody will be watching Eagles and Falcons, but I am going to have a double dip because I'm going to go catch a little Braves-Dodgers on Monday night. It'll be my first night off working today, working tomorrow. I got a long day tomorrow, so I'm going to reward myself with a little Braves-Dodgers and then walk across the street, pick a watering hole, and probably catch Eagles-Falcons as the second quarter or so is winding down. But my question to you is, sir, Braves find themselves outside looking in if the playoffs started this week. But we got a 3-game set versus the Mets late this month, 24th, 25th, and 26th. So does our playoff hopes come down to those 3 games?
It's looking like it, right? Because the Metsies are playing really good baseball right now. And they have been for a hot minute.
It's not how you start. It is how you finish.
How you finish. Guys were booing Pete Alonso out of the franchise. He's come back at 30 home runs again. Lindor's probably going to be the runner-up MVP. I mean, they got good starting pitching. I mean, yeah, I think so. And you know what the thing is, too? Braves looked good last night against the Dodgers.
Yeah, they did.
That was a solid victory. You know what I would say about Schwellenbach? Out of all these rookie pitchers that have come up the last couple of years, if I had to make a playoff start with one of them, I think he'd be the guy.
As
he's,
a rookie.
He's shown me a lot.
Because Strider really struggled as well. We saw what he did as a rookie.
Right.
So,
So he's really shown me a lot in terms of poise and confidence. I would have no problem giving him the ball in a playoff series.
Well, let's hope we even get the chance. Let's hope we even get the chance.
I think they will. I think they will.
It comes down to that three-game set. That three-game set at Truist in our house, we got to come up, show up for the fans, and the players got to play out. They really do. I hope they get in there because I already bought playoff tickets. So, you know, what can you do? But I guess
I get those refunded.
It goes towards next year. Yeah, I got the 10-game package. So, you know, you get your first option, you pay the money, and you can. I could email them and say, "Hey, I give my money back," but they really just say, "Hey, we'll go ahead and credit you this for next year." And that's what I'll let happen. All right. So, next question on the producer six pack. Staying in the NFL, and shame on me, I forgot to pull up my sound effect, but
that's
I'll get
right.
it for the next one.
That's right.
CMC going to be out again for the 49ers. And my question is, I mean, that's their problem. They got their own issues. But running backs in the NFL, because come a year or two now, we're going to have to give a guy probably a really big contract. Would you, you know, does seeing what happens to CMC and what happens to a lot of running backs, does that scare you when it comes to thinking about what we're going to have to give Bijan Robinson in probably 2 years?
Let's see how this year goes, I would say. Because he had, I wouldn't say injuries, but I think maybe just a little wear and tear last year, getting used to the NFL and all the extra games and all the carries they gave him and all the catches he had out of the backfield. But right now, I mean, he's worth the price of admission. I would say he's going to earn his contract as long as he stays healthy, but, I'm worried about Monday night, man.
That question's coming.
Yeah. But obviously right now, if you had to project, which it's really, really hard to do in the NFL, as long as he stays healthy, I mean, he's essentially what you build your offense around, right?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think so. I think, unfortunately, what we're finding out for some of our pass catchers is that they may not be the alpha dogs that we need them to be, but Bijan is that alpha dog, and he could be that guy that really takes this franchise for the next 7-8 years.
Yeah, Drake had a really tough week one. Two catches for 15 yards. I know that exact number because I had both him and Kirk in fantasy? My fantasy team. Ooh. I still won, though.
The fantasy team that got auto-drafted for you when we were on the air a couple weeks ago?
No, ironically enough, I actually picked both of them, buying into the hype, thinking that they were both going to have great years. And Drake's not in my lineup this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of got the... Let me see you first, big guy, before I go ahead and put you back in there.
With those DBs in Philly, arguably the best defensive secondary in the league. Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right, I got my sound effect ready. Staying in the NFL, actually going to go to your team. I couldn't believe when I saw this. The New York Jets, Jets are a road favorite going into Nashville on Sunday, even though both teams are 0-1. I mean, come on. Is that just an A-Rod factor? I mean, how can the Jets be a road favorite going into Nashville?
Did you watch Will Levis play last week?
I did watch. I saw the highlights.
That's why.
That's why.
That's why.
That's why somebody projected people have the Titans picking a quarterback in the top five next year.
Oh, I think that's all but a guarantee. again, he only looked good against the Falcons, and that was kind of it. Mm. The Jets are probably going to win this one like 17-10, just an awful kind of game.
They're a 3-point road favorite.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I was thinking taking the Titans plus the 3.
Oh.
But you think they're a touchdown better?
No. The Titans can't do anything on offense, man. Will Levis is – he had that magical connection to D-Hop when he played us.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't had it since.
Hadn't had it since.
So
those old Kentucky quarterbacks.
Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking rolling with him and not having any sort of a
– true backup.
A true backup plan there. Yep. Malik Willis is now in
Green Bay and going to start.
Might start, yeah.
He don't mind. He's starting.
Oh, he's starting.
He's starting,
okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just saying, I would give the Jets – as bad as they looked against San Francisco, they're still better than the Titans.
Okay.
I hope.
So they've earned that road favorite static or category going into the Nationals. Okay, all right, one more sports one here on the sports ones. And we couldn't ignore this one. So our Dirty Birds are a 6.5 underdog going into Philly. 6.5. What I saw out of Jalen Hurts and the Eagles in Brazil, makes me worry that number's not even big enough. I this could be a 10-point game. What do you say, sir?
The Falcons have to win this game. They have to. Oh, but they're just
that's
not
a
as
big
good.
Ass.
Yeah, they're just
that's
not,
a big ass.
They're not as good. I mean, they're just not as good. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. Defense, I guess you could say they're comparable. But on the offense,
AJ Brown,
Devontae Smith, Dotson, Goddard, Barkley, Hurts.
Saquon was the newcomer, new player of the century in that game. How did they get him to his? He had three. He could have got four. How did they get? Man, that would have been a fantasy, you know, win for somebody.
And then that's not even considering their offensive line. They have Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata, the tackles. Their new center's pretty good. Yep. The guy who's replacing Kelsey.
And they got UGA part two on defense.
Yeah.
Because Dean was it his name, whatever. He looked really good in that game.
Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean.
N'Kobe Dean, yes.
Rengo. They have all those guys. They find a way. They just have to.
Look at you carrying the.
They have to. They can't.
The Falcons card. Look at you, the Atlanta Falcons Network representative that you are. Go ahead, brother.
They're not beating the Chiefs. they're just not. So they have to win this one. Just by hooker. But I don't care if it's by a forced fumble or a last second 58-yard field goal from Koo. Mm-hmm. They're going to find a way. They have to.
I'll tell you my thoughts. You ever heard about how people say play in night games at places like LSU or places like, you know, Clemson, or just the night game atmosphere is even ratcheted up more in college football?
Yeah.
I've been to a night game at Lincoln Financial.
Oh, so have I.
Broad Street will be off the chain.
Yep.
Those folks going to be tore up from the floor up, get the cells ready, get the judge ready, because it's going to be some people getting some detainment in Philly.
Opener, too.
Yeah, home opener.
They're going to find a way.
Okay. All right.
27-24.
I want to be there with you.
27-24.
Like I said, I'm rolling to a bar probably halfway through the second quarter after the Braves, unless the Braves just whip up on the Dodgers and I can leave early. But I'm going to roll into a bar and say, what we got? Hopefully we'll get a good answer. All right. Let's get out of these sports questions. Get you some life questions. Brother, missed you last week, man. What was it like? We both got a Saturday off. I think it was the first time I've had a Saturday off in like 6 months.
Me too.
I know. We're usually together. We're usually joined at the hip on a Saturday.
It was, I'm not going to lie, it was fantastic. Me and the girl went to the Atlanta Zoo for the first time.
What?
I had never been.
They still got the pandas?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she used
that's
to.
That's how long it's been, a long time.
She used to work there.
Okay.
So she gave me the grand tour.
Okay.
Like the VIP exclusive. We saw everything. Like we were walking around.
Orangutans and pandas and zebras and horses.
For like 2.5-3 hours.
Okay.
We were just doing the whole thing. We got some slushies. We did the whole. It was a very cute, couple-y outing last week. We posted some pictures. It was a very good time. And then that Saturday night, got a little turnt.
Yeah, a little sauce.
Because usually can't do that either.
You got to be back on Sunday for a something reason.
Right.
Well, you had to be back last Sunday, right?
Yeah, but I was fine.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
We soldiered on. It's not like I got to be. It's not like I got to be on the air. I'm just pushing a couple of buttons back there. Yeah. I mean,
okay.
You know. So I was all good, and we had a good time in here on the Falcons Radio Network right about until the game started.
There it is.
And
yeah.
that was that.
Okay. All right, last one on the nine sports questions. And this is kind of a piggyback on, well, not that, but the question about you. You know, you're great. Congratulations. Glad you and the young lady are off to a great start now. I'm counting right, going up on maybe a month or so of what you would call established girlfriend, boyfriend, right?
Just about that,
you know. If you ever, this is a hypothetical question, if you ever had to, okay, because you relocated from the north to the south for a career move, okay, but would you ever relocate for love?
Oof. This is a really hard career field to do that.
Yeah, because you know the guy you replaced, Craig Carlos Valentino, he relocated for love, okay, and he said, look, I know I'm in this business and I'll find a way to continue my career, but he went to California for love. Now, that was his home state. He went back, and he's happily married now if you follow him on social media. And it's a decision that I may have to make here one day. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, get some input from some of the guys. What would you do? Would you, if you ever had to?
We'd have to have a really tough and realistic conversation about what our life would be like if we moved. Because I'm not good at many things. I'm good at this. So I would need to be able to find something adjacent to this to work. And to find that, we know, E, I don't need to tell you, not a lot of full-time jobs out there in this old sports media thing.
We either got to kill somebody or wait somebody to retire.
Exactly.
One or another. And I'm thinking about killing somebody.
The joke I always make whenever anybody asks me is like, it's to get into sports media, this is how it is. It's like when you go to Publix and you take your deli counter number, you got to wait. There's no skipping ahead. There's no trading. There's no asking people. You got to wait. If you're number 47 and they're at 32, you got to wait.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
That's the exact same thing as getting into sports media. You start off part-time. And when you're ready to get full time.
And overnight.
Yeah, and you got to wait till your number's called. So that's just how it is, my friend. But good job on the six pack. As always, looking forward to another edition coming up next weekend. All right, when we get back, you want all the intel? You want all the info on the Falcons and the Eagles? About 3 hours ago, I got a chance to catch up with our buddy Joe Patrick. You'll hear that interview coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app.